You're listening to The Bridge Metro West, located at 7 Strathmore Road in Natick, Massachusetts. For more information about The Bridge Metro West, our weekly Sunday gatherings, and other events, go to www.bridgemetrowest.com.
Hey, we've had some amazing messages that have been surrounding gratitude in a lot of different ways. Pastor Verna, last week was commit to being committed. And that's something that I think we are all always learning and growing in, actually. Because I don't think committing to being committed is always been done awesome by myself at every point in my life. But it's kind of grown as it's gone on. So that was a beautiful message last week that Pastor Verna just, you know, laid a table out and just plop. It was awesome. Anyway, honor you. I'm stalling because I didn't see you there. Come on up, Kelly. I've decided to do something because I was having a conversation with Kelly about something, and I was like, that would be so cool to just give a little snippet share, you see here this morning, because I thought it was awesome, and it really flows with what we're focusing in on this morning. So I'm going to hand it over to you, Kel, and you can give context as you will.
Okay. As most of you probably don't know, my dad passed away almost a year ago from battling a 20-year battle of ALS. So it's kind of in reference to what the Lord like was doing. I'm going to try not to cry. Yeah, some tissues, please. Just the whole box, would ya? Okay, so for 20 years, I'm going to try to shorten it. For 20 years, we contended for his healing and had prophetic word after prophetic word, never saw anything. But I stood on the fact that the Lord heals, and I knew he could do it. In 2018, he almost passed away. We rushed down. He wasn't supposed to live. But he was on full tanks of oxygen, as much as he could have. But then the Lord healed him completely off of oxygen, but didn't heal him the whole way. So I was in a place of, well, why can you halfway do it, but you can't do it all the way? Like, it didn't make any sense. So whereas I still believe that the Lord could do it, I kind of lived a life of, like, I know he can heal, but I'm not going to really pray for anyone else to be healed. Because if he's not going to do it for my dad, I don't really want to press in to see it happen for anyone else. Because I lived life in the early stages of my dad, seeing the Lord heal someone out of a wheelchair, seeing him heal people of bunions and things. And I'm like, it's not detrimental to your life to have a bunion. But here's my dad who his result will be heavenly healing if you don't come and heal him on this earth. January 31st of this year, he got sick, and the Lord did not heal him. The morning that he died, I actually thought I was going to get to see him one last time before he actually passed away. But we show up to the hospital, the doors closed, and it was actually the doctors wanting us to like check in first because we didn't know he had passed away. But we just walk in, and he was lying there. And it wasn't something I ever wanted to see, but I actually felt like it was a moment of, like, behind door number one, this is what you're about to step into of what the Lord is going to reveal. And I felt like as I walked in and saw my dad lying there, and I felt the Lord go, you have two pathways currently, two roads you can take. You are at a fork in the road, and you right now in this moment, seeing your dad lying there, have a choice to make. Are you going to take the path of, well, obviously the Lord doesn't heal because This wasn't supposed to be the story of my dad's life. He was supposed to get the glory on earth, not in heaven. Or he goes, or you can take the path of obedience and know that even though the Lord didn't heal him on the earth, that he still heals. And it is now my job to contend for other people's healing, even though I didn't see it from my dad, which is a really hard thing when you're seeing your dad lying there in a way that you like never imagined to ever have to see him, to go, Lord, I'm going to take the path that feels hard, which is obedience. And I was talking, my mom was in the room, so I was actually like telling her that in the moment, because I'm like, this is weird. Like, I shouldn't be feeling like, oh, I'm going to obey the Lord, my dad just died, I'm going to go out and pray for all the people and do all the things. But I felt like that was what the Lord was speaking. Like, you can walk away and just forget about people's healing. You go, you never saw it for yourself. Or you can walk in obedience and go, I'm going to go after it, even though I didn't see it in the way that I wanted to. So as me and my mother were leaving the hospital, we came across an old childhood friend. And my mom was talking to her. And I go to grab the car and I pull up and she's sitting there. So I'm just like waiting on my mom. And then her name was Tracy. She started talking about how she was just re-diagnosed with some form of cancer. She's gonna have to start all these treatments, all these things. I'm standing there at the car door going, shoot. Great. I just told the Lord I was going to be obedient. And here I just left my dead father, and now here's someone who needs prayer for healing. And I could feel it like all over my body of the Lord going, pray for her. I was like, this is like feels counterproductive to what I'm just experienced. I've lost. Literally left my dad, never going to see him again. Here's someone who is struggling with cancer who needs prayer. So, of course, I was like, can I pray for you? And she's like, yes. Did anything happen? No. But, like, it like, sparked something, like a joy amidst the grief that God is good even if I didn't see it happen. And then so days go on, my dad's memorial happens, and I'm in this mindset of, like, oh, God is just so good. He's been so gracious through this whole thing. We had a young couple drive about 3 or 4 hours just to come to tell my mom how much my dad meant to this particular guy that we had known since I was like in middle school. And he goes, but we can't stay because my wife's dad just had a heart attack and he's being life-flighted to a hospital. And I'm like, are you kidding me right now? This is my dad's memorial service and someone else's dad has a problem and I need to pray for them. So in the middle of my dad's memorial, they're telling us about this. I'm like, can we pray for you? So we start praying healing over her father, which he ended up completely fine. But it's just that sense of in the grief, in the discouragement and the despair that God's faithfulness and goodness is still there. And I actually came across something yesterday that I just want to read because it ties in gratitude into these things. It says, true gratitude is acknowledging the good gifts in our lives and especially the gift giver, God who brings about good in every circumstance for those who love him. We don't have to fake or force the emotion of happiness. All we are called to do is confess the truth about our good God, even if we do so while crying. So that's pretty much it in a nutshell.
Sweet. Thanks, Kel. Awesome. So this morning, kind of the tagline of gratitude is gratitude that transforms us. And to me, that testimony literally speaks of trusting in God and that transformation that can happen from moment to moment. So gratitude is not just a polite spiritual response to blessings. It's not just a Christian positivity. It's not just positive thinking. I don't know if you know that. It's not actually just positive thinking. It's not ignoring pain. Gratitude in Scripture rises from prisons, caves, ruins, storms, and dark nights, and rises not because circumstances are good, but because God is good. So throughout the Bible, the greatest thanksgiving comes from the hardest places. I will give reference to these things a little bit later, so I'm going to say something now that will be referenced here in a moment, but Jonah in the belly of a fish, Isaiah announcing praise before restoration, Jeremiah speaking gratitude to a desolate city, Daniel giving thanks under threat of death, David praising in the wilderness, Paul rejoicing in prison, Jesus, who says that we can be one with the Father just as he is one with the Father, gives thanks before a miracle even happens because he's so in touch with the, I only say what I hear the Father saying and I only do what I see the Father doing. Why? Because a heart of gratitude is shaped by a high view of God. A right view of God produces gratitude. A distorted view of God destroys gratitude. It just destroys gratitude altogether. So today we explore how seeing God rightly shapes our perspective, our identity, and our ability to give thanks in all circumstances. So number one, I have points, y'all. There's points and sub-points. Buckle up. So number one, a high view of God produces gratitude. Gratitude does not begin with circumstances. It begins with theology. What is theology? It's just the study of the nature of God. That is theology. When God is high and lifted up in our hearts, thanksgiving flows naturally. This is A, because I don't want to confuse people with numbers on numbers. A high view of God shapes our perspective. When God is sovereign, reigning, and wise, life stops being about me and shifts to him. Jonah stops focusing on his failure and fixes his eyes on God's salvation. Isaiah lifts his eyes from a present judgment to a future redemption. Gratitude begins with reorienting the heart toward God's sovereignty. My stress becomes his story. My uncertainty becomes his opportunity. My hardship becomes his refining work. Gratitude grows when we believe God is in control and God is good, because he is. This is B, a high view of God builds confidence. When we know God is omniscient, he knows. When we know God is omnipresent, he is with us. When we know God is faithful, he will not fail us. We can give thanks even when life feels unstable. Our confidence is not rooted in circumstance, but in God's unchanging character. C, a high view of God feels joyful stewardship. When we see God as trustworthy, we obey boldly. We serve gladly, and we act courageously. Gratitude flows from trusting the heart of the one who holds our future. D, a high view of God clarifies our identity. When we see God rightly, we see ourselves rightly. We recognize our worth is not in performance or opinion, but in being just simply his creation. Thankfulness becomes a response of who he says we are. Our identity is rooted in God alone, And gratitude becomes the natural posture of our heart. Number two, a distorted view of God destroys gratitude. Gratitude shrivels when our view of God is inaccurate or unhealthy. A, fear inaction. If we see God as harsh judge, we become like the servant who buried his talent. And that's a parable that Jesus gave in Matthew 25 that I'm not going to read at this moment. Fear replaces faith. Shame replaces worship. Caution replaces stewardship. B, instability. If we believe God's attitude towards us fluctuates with our behavior, we live emotionally unstable lives. Grateful one day, ashamed the next. Unsure always. Gratitude cannot flourish in the soil of insecurity. C, identity distortion. A wrong view of God leads to a wrong view of self. You'll never know yourself if you do not see God rightly. If God seems impossible to please, we'll believe we are failures. If God seems indifferent, we'll believe we are insignificant. If God seems inconsistent, we'll believe we have no safe place. You'll just always feel unsafe everywhere, actually. Gratitude grows only when we know God's heart is steady, loving, and faithful. Number three, we're going to jump into some of the stories I referenced a little bit earlier. Biblical examples of gratitude rooted in a right view of God. So Jonah, gratitude in the belly of a fish. Like in the belly of the fish, gratitude. I mean, that's nuts, okay? So Jonah, trapped in the belly of a fish, declares, "But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you." Jonah thanks God before he is delivered. He sees daylight before he even knows the outcome. That's such a picture, seeing daylight when you're surrounded by darkness. Gratitude starts with a vision of God, not our circumstances. Jonah praises God before deliverance. He trusts God's character in total darkness. He has a high view of God, so he gives thanks in the depths, in the belly of a whale. B, Isaiah, where I referenced gratitude before restoration. There's a story in Isaiah chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. "And on that day you will say, 'Give thanks to the Lord, proclaim his name, make his works known among the peoples. Declare that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things.'" Isaiah calls for thanksgiving while Israel in that day and time is facing judgment. And you can read that in Isaiah 12. He praises God based on his character, not the current situation that's literally happening around him. Gratitude comes from seeing the glory of the coming king. It's seeing that the king is about to enter at any moment. See, this is about Jeremiah, where he's had gratitude in just desolation. In Jeremiah 33:11, I couldn't help to read the whole chapter because there's a song from my childhood out of Jeremiah 33:3 that's like, It's like Jeremiah 33 says, "Call to me and I will answer you. I'll show you what I'm gonna do." And it's just like, doom, 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 tika. Yeah. So anyway, that's not where I was focusing on, but yeah, it reminded me of that just reading through that part of Jeremiah. So in a city leveled by war, God declares, in a city of desolation, the sounds of joy and gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voices of those who bring thank offerings to the house of the Lord, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord Almighty, for the Lord is good. His love endures forever. The ruins will one day ring with thanksgiving. Gratitude is rooted in God's promise, not present reality." You can tell there's a theme here because it's all the same thing. Jeremiah proclaims future thanksgiving while standing in the middle of ruins. Okay, that's like a... It would be like just like World War III happening around you and just like, "God, you're so good." Like, I mean, it's levels right now. When God is faithful, gratitude does not wait for proof. When God is faithful, gratitude doesn't wait for proof. D, this is, oh, I just realized, D, Daniel. D, Daniel. Gratitude as a daily discipline. This is out of Daniel chapter 2, verses 23, and also probably chapter 6, verse 10. After the decree forbidding prayer, there's a decree that goes out by a king of that day that forbids prayer. And the story goes is, well, Daniel prayed, and he gave thanks to God as he had always done. Daniel thanks God when gratitude is dangerous. He gives thanks even when doing so might cost his life. His gratitude is shaped by an unshakable view of God. As we go to E for David, gratitude that sings through every season, we can see all of this. Man, I love the Psalms because it just like speaks to like all these moments of life. You're like, wow, he's just a real dude. And he's just like feeling it. Like he's up, he's down, he's up, he's down. He is a definite like poetic musician type for sure. Just read the Psalms. This is F, Paul, gratitude and suffering. We can read where Paul is imprisoned. Letters. While he's imprisoned, he's writing letters to churches. So Paul's in prison, letters overflow with thanksgiving because he sees everything through the lens of God's eternal purpose. He knows what he needs to do no matter what's happening. And of course, the one who intercedes on our behalf right now, King Jesus, he gives gratitude, like I referenced before a miracle even happens. And we can see that in even the simple story with the fish and the loaves, where he's just like raises it up. And of course, we know a lot of us might know the story of, well, the fish and the loaves don't run out and they feed over 5,000 people in that moment. All he did is thank God for it. He didn't declare anything. It's just so crazy. I gave this interesting analogy that I'm reminded of in a group last week, and I said it's so interesting how we do stuff. You know, you have a board in front of you and there's a nail, and then you're like, nail, hammer, bang. I didn't check in with the Lord at all on that. He's like, actually, I wanted you to turn that thing around and kind of go out like that. Because I think about that when we pray for folks. Like, we got a lot of different tools and we might bang. When the Lord actually is like, whoa, slow down. Let's do it together. So Jesus really shows us that navigation with how he and the Father are one and how he just walks in gratitude, before anything happens. It's just such a flow. Man, I just love that so much. So number four, our identity in relation to this great God. Scripture reveals who we are in light of who God is. A, God's masterpieces. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. We are handcrafted by God. Gratitude emerges when we receive our identity from him. And as I want to highlight in B, it doesn't matter if you are a work in process. In Jeremiah 18, we see that God is the potter, shaping us with purpose and intention. We can give thanks during the shaping, just as if it's already been done, while the shaping is even happening. See, we are shaped for purpose. God uses our gifts, our abilities, and experiences to advance his kingdom. Gratitude comes from knowing our lives have divine intention. Your life this morning has divine intention. It's not by accident that you are in this building this morning. Every time I come to church, I'm like, anything could happen today. My prayer is that when we come in this place, that we would come with such a pull on heaven of like, what if? It might be uncomfortable. It might be just sometimes what feels normal to us, which we've probably, many of you may have seen, what's normal to you isn't normal to everyone. Even some of y'all have testimonies that you think, oh, it's just a small thing God did. But if you use that testimony under guidance of the Holy Spirit, you could really reach someone into their depths, because we serve a relational God. D, identity in Christ. We are defined not by failures, past mistakes, or cultural labels, but by God's voice. Gratitude flows when we embrace who he says we are. Loved, forgiven, chosen, redeemed, called, empowered. This identity fuels continual thanksgiving. Number five, the transforming power of gratitude, which is what I referenced at the very beginning. It's such a powerful thing that the relational thing that happens with us in Jesus Christ, Christ in you, the hope of glory, that we even have a pure, undefiled gratitude to even bring to the Lord. This is the exponential nature of thanksgiving. The more we practice it, the more clearly we see God's goodness. Gratitude strengthens faith, deepens trust, shifts perspective, builds resilience. It restores joy. It restores joy. God, would you restore joy in this house, Lord? Expands hope, transforms communities, forms identity, and reflects Christ. A grateful people become a powerful people. Gratitude is not just a practice, it is a spiritual environment where transformation happens. Number six, how to cultivate a life of gratitude. And like I said before, I can only speak for myself, is that it just grows over time. As long as you walk towards the Lord and walk towards Him, you can't help but grow, because He's holy. He's holy. We serve a holy God. And if you walk towards Him carrying anything, it's not going to be able to stay long. It's just going to, it's going to go. The only reason it wouldn't is if you're holding on to it, saying, I don't know if I want to let go of this as I walk. I loved when Lee's wife, Jennifer, was sharing her story, which is available on our YouTube, of how she broke up with fear. Because fear can be comforting. I don't know if many people would even say that in their mind. Fear can be comforting. It saved you from something. You didn't get hurt because fear kept you away. So I just love that. If y'all missed it, I just encourage you to go watch Jennifer's amazing story, because it outlines the goodness of God if we are willing to walk towards Him, to not turn our face away. That's even how we describe sin in this house. Anything that pulls your attention away from Him predominantly, that pulls you off the path of righteousness. If you're not seeking righteousness, then I guess that's fine. But if you are seeking Him to walk the narrow way that He outlines in the scripture, it behooves you to walk towards Him. Behooves. Yes, that came to me just then. Okay. Lost my spot here. I did say number six, right? I did. How to cultivate a life of gratitude. Okay. Remember God's faithfulness. That's A. Rehearse His goodness daily. I'm telling you, like, different little things that are just, to me, helpful to just the walking of gratitude actual. It's not just some nice Hallmark card. B, practice gratitude intentionally. Morning and evening, like David. Some folks might put boundaries on what gratitude looks like that God never put there. David was a wacky dude. He danced nude in the middle of a city. He's just like, God's so good. Rip, rip, rip. I was like, wow. What I'm trying to say is the Lord is so relational in all the things that we talk about here on a Sunday. And gratitude is one of those things that He wants to do with you. You're not just filling some basket or something. Gratitude. Gratitude. Ah! Like, that's not the navigation. So some of this is we need to change the framework of, wow, what? Wait, am I gratitude? Jesus Christ is perfect. The Bible says Christ is in me. So as I walk out gratitude, I can only do this with Him. Give thanks before the answer comes. This is one of the hardest things. Give thanks before the answer comes. And I see that in the story of Jonah. Like, I've read the story of Jonah so much, but like, I was like, whoa. He's surrounded in complete darkness and stank, and he's thanking the Lord. It's so weird. It was like the weirdest inner healing moment of all times, in the belly of a fish, in the middle of the ocean somewhere, and he's just like, I'm free now. I thank you, God. Like, he's just giving thanks. Before the answer comes, because he actually, in that moment, doesn't even know if he's going to come out of that situation. We know that because, well, we know the story, how the story goes. He doesn't know that. He's just in the belly of a fish. How would he know, oh, I know if I do this, it'll equal So that's why it's so important that it's relational, because you might miss an open door that the Lord wants to take you through, because you're like, okay, the Lord's worked this way all the time. And so now I know that if I just do these, read these things and do this, I know he'll come in this way. We can't do that outside of relationship. And it only takes a little turn, just eek. People always expect all this, like, the enemy's coming against me. Rah! It's so hard. It's torrential. Rah! Sometimes it's a slight turn. That's all it takes to lash out to your kid, to miss something that you would have never missed, to just walk in a way that you realize, oh, wow, I don't normally do that. So D, replace anxiety with a thankful prayer. Philippians chapter 4, whoa, computer. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. It's just like that. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Because you'll be in Christ Jesus. That's why we say in Jesus' name. It's not just a, again, Hallmark sticker on the outside of the envelope. In Jesus' name. It's, we pray these prayers in his name. Residing in his name. Navigating this life in his name. Thanksgiving brings peace. And if you want to do something crazy, E, speak gratitude into your community. Let your thanks encourage others. Speak it out loud. Speak it out loud. F, choose gratitude in hardship. Not because hardship is good, but because God is good in hardship. So when our view of God is high, gratitude just flows so naturally. When our view of God is distorted, gratitude dries up. So there's an invitation today, and it's really simple, to see God rightly, to trust him fully, and to give thanks in all circumstances. Because the God who was worthy of Jonah's praise in the deep, Jeremiah's praise in the ruins, David's praise in the wilderness, Paul's praise in prison, and Jesus' praise before the miracle has even occurred, is worthy of yours and mine praise today. I'm going to invite the prayer team up today, right now, because something I was doing in worship earlier this week, I found myself singing, I want to see you rightly, Jesus. Show me your face rightly, Jesus. I kept singing it over and over because in the face of any trial or hardship or thing that happens in our life, we can depend upon him. So I want to to pray something over you guys today, because gratitude is something that you might think you do, which it is. Having gratitude can lead to actually doing something. It can lead to just a way of posturing yourself. But it always leads to Him, no matter what. And if I could say anything, it's gratitude is not possible, actual, without that relational connection with Jesus Christ, who bled and died on a cross for you and I. So my prayer today is this: may the God who is sovereign over every circumstance and faithful in every season, open your eyes. Open your eyes to see His goodness all around you. May Christ, who gave thanks before the miracle, teach your heart to trust before you see and to praise before you understand. May the Holy Spirit fill you with a gratitude that grounds your identity, shapes your perspective, and strengthens your soul. My prayer is that you would go and walk in peace, walking in gratitude, for the God who goes before you also walks beside you and dwells within you.
Thank you for listening to this message from the Bridge Metro West in Natick, Massachusetts. Paul David Guidry is the senior pastor at the Bridge. For more information about the Bridge Metro West family, our gatherings and events, visit www.bridgemetrowest.com or call us at 508-651-0277.